from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold. This is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. We actually have a lot to talk about. We are recording this on Sunday, so if something drops late Sunday night, who knows? I don't really have an answer for that. We didn't expect much news on a Sunday, but we did get some. Justin Houston is no longer Kansas City Chief. Thank you for joining me, Seth Kaiser and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Nice catching up with you guys, even on a Sunday.
Matt starting off quick with the lying, so that's fun. No, this isn't nice for anyone. But you know what, Matt? I forgive you because you're just about the nicest guy on the planet. So I
now you're going into lying.
Well, so. We have to. I'm just trying to match quid pro quo. Yes, it's a big news day. This is. Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, I think we all saw this coming, yeah?
I saw it coming, but, and it doesn't surprise me, I guess, now I think about it, that it happened today, of all days, because you want to be able to have that money ready for free agency, and that really starts tomorrow, or by the time you may be listening to that today.
Right.
I mean, this day was baked into the contract 4 years ago. I mean, that's just the reality of it. For that 6 years, $101 million, that was the headline of this deal, but all along it was really a 4-year, $68 million deal with 2-year option. And the only way that this contract was ever going to get picked up is if Justin Houston remained a premier, top of the league, number one, beyond the shadow of a doubt, edge rusher. And he's just not that anymore. So, you know, you can't really justify having that salary cap number for what the production you've been getting out of him, the last couple of years, and certainly what you think you're going to get out of him.
Right.
So, no, it's been a foregone conclusion for a long time, especially with the injuries that, you know, piled up, that this is when it was going to end. I don't think there was ever any doubt, you know, especially over the last 6 to 12 months, but certainly this day of reckoning was built into this deal 4 years ago.
Right. And that really is what it is. And I like that you pointed that out. I mean, the nature of the contract that Justin Houston signed was a top five defensive player in football, not top five edge rusher, top five defensive player. And you needed that for a $20 million a year gig. I still every now and then get upset and frustrated when I look at the structure of the contract because it averages about 16.3 per year. Right. But it's just the first year was like a $5 million cap hit. Second year was like a 12 or 13 million. And so this was always going to come down in part because of how heavily it was backloaded. I get frustrated by that occasionally because had they just kept a few mil less, they maybe could have made this work. But it was always going to happen like this unless Houston remained a top five defensive player. And like you said, Matt, the production's not there. He's still a very good player. I think he's going to help some team. Carrington with 6'10 just tweeted out. He goes, we all know how this ends. He's going to sign with the Patriots. And maybe the Patriots, maybe not the Patriots. Who knows? But I think he'll end up on some team and he'll really help them. But you can't pay really help $20 million.
Well, Field Yates just tweeted out a little bit before Carrington tweeted that out that Justin Houston is still really good friends with Master Kim, who works for New England. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him end up in New England. And they're going to need help considering they're letting Trey Flowers go. Honestly, you're right. This was something that was going to happen as soon as the deal was signed 4 years ago. The problem really was that this deal wasn't signed 5 years ago. Because if they signed it 5 years ago, maybe Houston can still be here on a different deal because they're not paying him $100 million. They're paying him a little less than that. And maybe they could have restructured a couple of years back.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that waiting a year probably cost this team $2 million a year, at least. There were words at the time that Houston was willing to agree to $80 million in that ballpark, between $80 and $90 million a year earlier. And, you know, had they gotten it done, absolutely they would have saved some money. It's the same deal with Eric Berry. We've been through that. You know, if they'd done those deals a year earlier, they would have been in a much better shape. It's speculative to a degree about what Justin Houston's going to do next, but indications that we've gotten that Houston was asked to restructure his contract and stick with this team and decline tells me at least a couple of things. One is either he feels like this is his last chance to go out and get a contract that's going to pay him money and pay him now. So he thinks that he can get more on the open market than what was remaining on this contract. Or the other thing that you're doing is you're legacy shopping. And to me, it certainly, the evidence would suggest to me that Justin Houston's looking for more money, because where would he find a legacy better than Kansas City, where he's been revered by the fans, he's produced, he's their number four sack leader of all time, who's going to be moving up that list very easily. And this team is built to compete. I mean, yeah, I mean, if he goes to the Patriots, maybe that's the only place where he could go that might give him a equal or better chance to get a ring, but this Chiefs team's built to do that too. So
how dare you say that? Sorry.
I don't really know why you think that your better chance of leaving Kansas City for a ring than, you know, to me, it's going to come down to money. That's why I'm going to be very interested to see where Houston signs and what contract he signs.
Well, it's definitely going to be interesting to see where he ends up. You know, what this deal really means to me isn't necessarily this really doesn't affect me with when it comes to Houston, but to me, this means that Kansas City is going to be active in free agency. They didn't have any cap space to really go out and sign anybody of note, and now they do. $20 million is plenty of money to go out and sign some guys. Generally speaking, they've done low cap hits on the first year, so they could go out and find several guys with this money. That's a big deal for them. And I will say also, I don't think this precludes them from trading D Ford.
No, it doesn't preclude them from doing a couple different things that could free up some more cap money. Ford included amongst that. I mean, you could still obviously make a decision with Eric Berry as well, although that's more complicated and the money comes handy later. But no, I mean, this doesn't stop them. And to a degree, you know, letting Justin Houston go, I think it does speak a lot about what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do with his defense and the kind of personnel that he feels that he needs. Cause it's a statement that he feels like he can improve this defense and get better without a guy like Justin Houston, which, you know, I mean, that's odd thing to say, but I do think it's reflective of the fact that they just didn't see how Justin Houston fit into the scheme that Spagnuolo wants to play.
Yep. That's fair. Now, you bring up Eric Berry, and I think that's something we definitely need to talk about. We do need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the Eric Berry situation, because there's a lot of information out there, and fans just don't seem to understand what the real deal is and what this next week could bring for Eric Berry and the Chiefs. Like I said, we'll talk about that when we come back. All right, so one thing I do want to talk about, and I did say we're going to talk about Eric Berry, and we're going to, but Matt, I have to ask you a question about Justin Houston, because this is going to relate to Eric Berry. I asked you before we started recording the show whether or not this was going to be something where they would do a June 1st designation for Justin Houston, and what was your answer on that?
Yeah, doing Justin Houston, releasing him right now, means that his cap hit will all come in 2019. If you want to designate a player as a post-June 1 cut, you have to wait until the beginning of the new league year on Wednesday.
Yep.
So releasing him now, all that cap hit is this year. It's not a big deal, because if you had waited and made Houston a post-1 designation, there's two things that happen. One, you only save $1.5 million in dead cap. That's what's remaining on the deal in 2020, and that's what you could take the hit in 2020. The releasing him now accelerates that 1.5. Not that big of a deal. The other factor, which would come into play with the Eric Berry decision as well, is that if you release a player with a June 1 designation, yeah, you get cap relief, but you don't get that cap relief until June 1. You've got right to carry that player on your salary cap as though they were still on the team. You get the cap relief on June 2nd. So if you made Houston a June 1 hit, he'd count $21.1 million until June 2nd. That right doesn't give you any cap relief for free agency now.
Right.
So
right,
it's a better deal for them to go ahead and eat the $1.5 million this year. You've got the $14 million in salary cap you can spend right now in free agency, mm-hmm, and then there's no salary cap hit in the future with Houston.
You know, I'm curious, Matt. You know more about this stuff than I do. Can you designate more than one player post June 1st?
You can do two a year.
Two a year. Okay. Yep. Interesting.
And thank you for that. Those are the two things I wanted to point out, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And the big one is that you had to wait till the new league year, which I didn't know. So thank you very much for that. I do appreciate that, Matt. Now, how that relates to Eric Berry, and Seth, I'll bring you in on this one. How that relates to Eric Berry is he has a $7.25 million bonus due yep. March 15th. If he is on the team after March 15th, he's going to be on the team in 2019. They're not going to cut him. And there's a lot of misinformation out there with people thinking they can save all this money by doing a June 1st cut. Yeah, you can, but you have to do it Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, you have to do it Wednesday or Thursday, and yes, you do get $9.5 million in cap relief for 2019, but remember, like we were talking about, you guys still carry that cap hit. You don't get that savings until mm-hmm. June 2nd. Yep. Now, that's right. Okay for the Chiefs, because they will need that $9.5 million
right.
at some point. That means you could either just go completely up against the cap with your draft picks, everything, go to June 2nd with zero money against the cap. Then you got your 9.5 that you can use. You can either carry over to 2020, or you can have that room for you, because you know you're going to need room for injured reserve, those kinds of things throughout the season. So that money would come in handy if they choose to do that with Eric Berry. But yeah, avoiding the $7.25 million hit on Friday, if you're cutting Eric Berry, that's why that window is there. You got 2 days to make that decision if you're going to do it.
What's fascinating to me with regards to the safety position is, so they cut Justin Houston. The reality is you've still got also, I mean, everyone talks about Berry. You've also still got Sorensen and Murray on the roster, who I understand that there's not nearly as many salary cap implications there. But I'll be frank, that surprises me. When I look at Daniel Sorensen being a $4.7 million cap hit this next season, now you can only save about $2.7 cutting him, but $2.7 in the first year of a big deal of someone you bring in, you know, $2.7 in the first year of a contract is very different versus $2.7 in the middle of a contract. And so I'm somewhat surprised that there hasn't been more movement on other players, although maybe, you know, Houston is the first domino to fall, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it could be from a timing standpoint. You're right, and Sorensen would fit into that June 1st designation as well, because yeah, you would save more cap space making him a June 1 cut mm-hmm. for this year than you would if you cut him right now.
Sure, and then I mean, I think that ups it only by a mil or so, but I mean, that does give you a little more to play around with. And I like that you pointed that out, Matt, with the June 1st designation. Yeah, the money doesn't come available, but that does still allow you to spend more in free agency now, because you know you can go right up against the cap. And that's a very different ballgame than what teams normally play.
Well, and the other thing that it does is it allows you to, I mean, there's been word that they're negotiating with Tyreek Hill to make him probably one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL. But the other thing that all this June 1 designation would allow you to do is get through the draft, sign your guys, get through free agency, sign the guys you want. And then June 1st, you can sign Tyreek Hill, because you'll have an extra $9 million, and he's not going to eat up the $9 million, I don't think. A new year contract, maybe he's going to eat up a couple, depending on what the signing bonus is. But he was already on the books for next year, so I don't imagine that the base salary is going to change. It'll just be a bonus amount.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the Chiefs for this year.
I think it is an important factor, because it, you know, we don't really necessarily think about it in these terms sometimes, but salary cap space is a finite number. I mean, it just is, and it's not that it's finite for 1 year; it's finite for multiple years. So, $9.5 million in one salary cap season, maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal, but when you're talking about, hey, yeah, that's going to get you 10% maybe towards Tyreek Hill's extension. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And we talked about, for all the fans, we talked about Justin Houston's contract and saying you wish you had done that a year earlier. The savings that you could have gotten with doing Justin Houston or Eric Berry a year earlier, that's $10 million. I mean, that's basically the same type of decision you're making here.
Right.
If anything, you're really talking about making a decision to move on from Eric Berry a year earlier rather than maybe making the extension a year earlier. It's the same kind of money. I mean, it's the same type of financial decision this team faces.
Absolutely. Just on the other end of things. No, It's the first domino to fall. I'm very curious. I mean, whether the Chiefs will be super active players. With cutting Houston, with Ford still under the tag as of right now, over the cap has them at around 23. I have no idea how accurate that is.
That's what Matt reported earlier this morning too. So I think that's
pretty, you can't trust that guy though. Matt's here. So 23 million. I mean, that's enough room to play around. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
The NFLPA salary cap report today had the Chiefs at just around 9.1. I'm very confident that does not include Carlos Hyde's number yet. So take that out, but then you had the 14 million. So yeah, with minus Carlos Hyde, that probably leaves you a little under 21. But you're right. I mean, that's plenty of money to do some things with, especially if you've got some other ways to free some cap money. And Seth, I've heard you talk about it plenty of times, and it's true. There's always ways to massage the cap. There's always ways to find more money somewhere if you need it.
Right. It's just you got to be careful about what player you do it for. Because, you know, some teams like the Dallas Cowboys found themselves in some very real cap difficulties because of a series of bad choices. The salary cap is so flexible, you're really allowed to whiff a few times and still be okay. Even once Mahomes has his deal, Hill has his deal, all that stuff. There's always room. You know, you remember, and I always talk about this, remember when Jarius Byrd was like the most coveted free safety to hit the market in a few years, and the Saints had like $200,000 available under the cap, and they somehow signed him?
Yep.
It was absurd. Everyone freaked out. And while it is a finite number, it's such a liquid number in terms of what you can do with salaries and how you can stagger them and how you can back end them. I mean, there's just a lot that you can do. And 23 mil is plenty. And especially once you're not dealing with like Uber contracts, right? It's harder to play around with like the money that Chris Jones is going to get. The kind of money that like maybe say an Adrian Amos will get or LaMarcus Joyner, you can do a really creative job with contracts like that, those slightly lower level ones.
Yep. Now, the one thing that I do think that we also need to talk about when it comes to Kansas City and this going into free agency is there are reports that Dee Ford is getting interest from San Francisco and Green Bay, and I do think we need to bring that up, but we need to take another quick break, and when we come back, we will be discussing Dee Ford and what that could mean for the Chiefs' future. All right, so Dee Ford, I still think he's available for trade. I don't think Kansas City cutting Justin Houston really changes that. Do you guys see anything different?
I don't see anything different. You know, it really ties into what we were talking about earlier. And my good friend Nick Jacobs actually broke this down really well, just as far as, you know, what is the kind of personnel that you need for a Steve Spagnuolo defense? And, you know, and by and large, what he's looking for and what fits best are role type players, people in specific positions. And by that means that you don't need necessarily the standout players at certain spots and maybe the star players. You can get by with different variations. And if the Chiefs are going to be moved to a 4-3 base, I think there's real questions about how Dee Ford fits into that. Now, is there a market for him? I think there is going to be some. But remember, the Chiefs, you know, didn't really go down much of the path of exploring a long-term deal with Dee Ford. And the reason was pretty clear, because he's kind of a little bit like the DeMarcus Lawrence, which is that, you know, his season last year was out of the norm of everything you've seen with his body of work leading up to that. So there's going to be a lot of other teams out there that are going to be in the same way. Hey, we don't want to give up too much. We don't want to make too much of a commitment to Dee Ford until we see him do it again. And, you know, so could there be a market? Is there a market? Absolutely, because he's the kind of player that can make an impact. But it's going to be just a matter of the right team falling in love with him and willing to meet what price the Chiefs are demanding for him.
Well, and I do think it's interesting that Green Bay is involved, although it makes a little bit more sense when you consider Mike Smith is there and Dee Ford is.
That's big.
Yeah, Dee Ford is saying that Mike Smith is one of the big reasons that he's been the player he was this year. So that could really be big for Kansas City. But it was also reported earlier that Dee Ford's agent is the same agent for Le'Veon Bell. And to me, that could be a sticking point because Green Bay in the past hasn't really given out a lot of guaranteed money. And you would think that would be something that Dee Ford and his agent would want.
I think, I mean, that's going to be a sticking point for any player. And I think that's part of the reason why Green Bay isn't as traditionally active in free agency, especially with big name free agents, because that's become more the norm than the exception. I got to tell you, though, I mean, Green Bay has got to do something. They can't have their season go like it did last year. And a guy like Ford could really help. I do think there's a lot to be said about the defensive shift that we're seeing. And whether or not Spagnuolo and I think I wouldn't underestimate the impact of Daly on the staff as well. There could well be an idea here that, hey, we can manufacture a pass rush around Chris Jones and three guys who fill a specific role. And if they can, because I mean, that was maybe the most impressive thing about the Patriots last season in the playoffs, especially, is their pass rush was Trey Flowers and a bunch of regular dudes.
And Chris Jones is more valuable, in my opinion, because he creates internal pressure, which is the hardest thing for a QB to combat.
Well, and he's just a better player. Jones was the best player in the Chiefs defense last year, and I don't really think it was that close.
I don't disagree with that.
He's become exceptional. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they go about this. I never thought they'd get rid of both, but the thing is, if now that they've tagged Ford, if they untag him or they get rid of him, they go from having what, 23 mil to, you know, closer to 40.
Yep.
That's a lot of change, my friend.
It is a lot of change. And you could also afford to consider giving Tyreek Hill a big bonus up front and maybe increase his salary and take some of that hit this year that you wouldn't have to worry about in future years, and that could really help you in the long run because you're going to be signing Mahomes more than likely next year.
Right.
I just can't see them going any other direction than that. And I do believe they try to get Chris Jones's deal done as well this year because you don't want to wait on that one either.
I think he's just going to keep getting better. Where do you land on the whole Jones Hill extension thing, Matt? You think Jones is something they try to get done, or you think they wait another year?
Well, there's some moving parts to it, and I go back even further. Go back to what Brett Veach said when they hired him, which was, you know, what his philosophy was that he pitched to Clark Hunt, and part of that philosophy was you extend the guys that you want to keep early, and you get that done. And they didn't do that with Dee Ford. So that's evidence right there that once you pass that window, once you get into that fifth-year option with Dee Ford, you don't re-sign him. For the Chiefs and their philosophy, you've closed that door because now any attempt to re-sign Dee Ford is going to cost you through the nose. And this is a franchise that I think with their current philosophy, they're not going to do that anymore. They want to get their guys done. So there's three guys that they want to get signed up quickly, and that's Tyreek Hill, that's Chris Jones, and that's Kendall Fuller. The catch with Jones is from people that I have talked to, you can't get a Chris Jones extension done with Dee Ford on the franchise tag because that's just going to send Dee Ford and his agent through the roof. If you're going to get Chris Jones done now, you've got to move Dee Ford. You can't extend him first and then leave Dee Ford out there on the franchise tag. It's just going to create too much, you know, animosity. And so that does make it a little bit easier to move forward if you're going to do that, which I think in that sense also makes it more important to get Tyreek Hill done. Because if you get Hill done first, that gives you the option to hold back with Jones. You've got the franchise tag. If you have to use it as leverage, it's there. So it gives you some more options. Kendall Fuller is an interesting one because they do want to keep him. They like him. I'm not sure that Fuller has shown the body of work yet to get a top five type contract at that position. Maybe he's going to get there, which is why you want to get him done. But I think the big part of that is going to have to be willingness on both sides that Kendall Fuller is not going to roll the dice and say, you know what, I think I'm going to have a big year and get a really big payday next year. So there is some impetus from the Chiefs to get that done early. But yeah, to me, it's if you get Hill done first, that's the easiest. You're in a battle with the Saints, and then their deal with Michael Thomas because those two guys pretty much want to set the market.
Well, and we haven't even talked about.
And chances are one of those guys is going to sign, and the other guy is going to sign for a dollar more. I mean, that's just the way it's going to fall.
Well, and Julio Jones is in that club as well, and we haven't even talked about the Antonio Brown deal, which also resets the market a little bit for wide receiver. you know, honestly, that move doesn't really worry me that much because it's still the Raiders, and I don't think they have enough talent on their team. But that's a story for another day. When it comes to this team and what they're going to do this year, this is the reason that I really would consider going out and getting going out and paying a young stud defensive player, because this is, you know, if you can get a core of two or three guys on each side of the ball that are young, and yeah, you can pay them, you can probably build a team around that. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me if Jones is that guy on defense. Maybe they go out and get another young safety. Maybe they go out and get a Landon Collins, or they go out and get somebody else, or you go out and sign another defender that can be that other guy, that can be that voice in the locker room. I really do think that's going to be important, because I do think they're going to be building around Tyreek Hill, and they're going to be building around Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the interesting thing when you look at what free agency is going to bring is, I'm not sold that Kansas City is not going to be in the market for another offensive player somewhere.
I can't rule that out either. I kind of take a deep pause there, because it seems almost counterintuitive that the Chiefs would pour even more money into offense. But yeah, I mean, you can't rule it out. I mean, there's a philosophy that does say, hey, you double down on what you do well, and you just dominate that. And if you go out there and roll out 45 points a game, it doesn't matter how bad your defense is going to be, you're probably going to win games. Maybe that part of that plays into a little bit about, you know, where Sammy Watkins is and how healthy they think he's going to be for next year. You know, maybe you have some questions at center. You signed Austin Ryder. I'm not expecting Mitch Morse to be back, obviously. So,
you know, maybe don't cry, please.
I cried too. Mizzou made, man. That's my guy. So,
Mitch is, and you know, the thing with Mitch, and I know we're coming up out of time, and I'll probably say stuff a lot like this. Mitch is like a legitimately good dude. Like he's not a fun guy to have walk away from a team, because as best I can tell, everyone on the team loves him. He's a legitimately good guy, very good center. I think he's going to get the bag somewhere. Might not get like Rodney, you know, he's not going to get like Hudson money or something like that.
And Morse is a perfect example of what I was just talking about with the Brett Veach philosophy, which is, you know, they were talking about extension with him, wanted to get it done, and he had the foot injury. And that killed any chance of getting a deal done. And once they passed that window and went into his contract season, there was no impetus to get a deal done, because the Chiefs just, they don't want to overpay for keeping their own guys. You know, you do have to go out and occasionally overpay to fill some holes in free agency. And they realize that, but they don't want to overpay to keep their own guys. That's not what Brett Veach will ever want to do.
All right. I know we got to sign off, and we will be doing that in just a moment, but I'm going to throw this last question out to both of you. Free agency starts today, and really it's Monday, because you have the tampering window. Does Kansas City have a deal done by Wednesday with one or two guys? And if so, who do you think that those one or two guys are?
Matt, you lead the way, my friend.
Well, I think they will get a couple of deals done pretty quickly, because you just have to. I mean, that's the way that the league is right now. You gotta strike while the iron's hot if there's a guy out there that you want. That's not to be said that there aren't going to be some bargains out there if you wait, especially at a few positions. And safety, we've talked about.
Yep.
Safety's loaded.
Yep.
It is absolutely loaded. And I'm not sure I see the real impetus to go out and plow $15 million each into two brand new safeties when there are going to be some guys, safeties, who sign for 1.5 who are going to be top 32, top 25 safeties and be starting caliber at a fraction of the price.
Especially at the free safety spot.
Exactly. So now, could they... I mean, safety seems like the logical argument, because it's a real weak spot on this team. There are a lot of question marks. I think corner is the other question mark. I'm just not sure if the quality is out there, but
I can't see anybody out there for signing. Sorry.
I'm hesitant to throw out this name because I've heard so many different names associated with a couple different spots with this team. So I think it's going to depend a lot on what other teams do. But hey, are there maybe a half dozen guys that this team has circled as being prospects that they could get on day one? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a better than reasonable chance that they get some deals done. Now, are they both, if they sign two guys, are they both going to be Anthony Hitchens, Sammy Watkins caliber? Not necessarily, but they could certainly fill some holes with some role guys right off the bat if they need to.
Mm-hmm. I personally think there's been enough smoke around Landon Collins that unless another team overpays him, I see him ending up in Kansas City. We know Spagnuolo likes him. We know Veach likes him. So I think unless another team really overpays him, I think you'll see the Collins thing get done. And then we're all going to wonder whether or not they're going to try Eric Berry out at free safety this next year.
Yeah, and we'll know that answer by Friday because, yep. Like we said, if he's on the roster by Friday, he is in Kansas City,
yep.
In 2019. Do you have an offensive player or another defensive player in mind, Seth?
If I were...
Come on, go big or go home. This is what you like to do.
There's not a lot of receivers on the market that I really love. If I were the Chiefs, now I've been advocating for this for years, I would go out and see what kind of money Jared Cook wants at tight end and try to destroy the league with two tight end, two wide receiver sets. Because
yep, that'd be a lot of fun.
A good receiving tight end like Cook, and Cook is a very good receiving tight end, they would tear teams apart. I think it would be more valuable than even signing a really good slot receiver because of what you do to teams personnel-wise. That's why I think, honestly, if they can fix the defense at all, I want them to grab one of those really great tight ends in the draft because I think that would be the way for the Chiefs to tear teams apart the most over the next couple of years would be to have another really good receiving tight end.
Yep. Well, and you talk about, you know, drafting for future need. You are actually starting to get to the point where you need to be looking at Travis Kelce's replacement.
Yep, a couple years down the road. And
it's not as far off as people think right. It is. I mean, just from age, contract, a lot of different factors. So, and this draft has some stud tight ends who are going to be dominant forces for a
absolutely.
Long time.
Like, we're talking six or seven guys that would not upset me if they grabbed in, like, the second round even.
Well, and I'm going to go on record and say I'm not going to be upset if they take one or two of the guys. I only really want one guy if he's there in the first round, but I can't imagine Kansas City is actually going to be picking at 29. Right. And I don't expect them to trade up for a tight end. But if they're sitting there at 29 and all your corners and safeties are gone or you've already got a safety, I'm not going to be mad if they go get Hawkinson. I really don't want Fant just because I think he's more of a wide receiver than really an all-around tight end. And I do think there's value in an all-around tight end. But I'm not going to be mad if they pick him up if they stick at the bottom in the first round. But that's not Brett Veach's style, so I don't expect them to do that.
Right.
So, all right, well, that is it for us today. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Tell people where they can find you.
Matt Derrick, Derrick, on Twitter, all one word, Matt Derrick. ChiefsDigest.com is the big place to get all the news. A lot of stories over the weekend about the regional combine, all the transactions this weekend, and we'll be having a lot of draft and free agency work coming up this week.
Appreciate it, bud. And Seth, and it's the Atlantic, right?
Yes, the Atlantic. We are doing some really great political stuff these days.
Okay.
No, the Athletic. The Athletic, I swear, people. I swear, every week someone gets mad at me because the Atlantic did something they didn't like. It's the Athletic, guys.
I get upset at the Atlantic for things that you guys do, so.
Well, yeah, I'm glad someone gets it flipped. That's good.
All right, and we are going to have a lot coming for you over the next couple of days. There are going to be a lot of rumors out there. We will be tracking them down and talking about new additions because they will be hitting... very quickly come this week. Thank you again for listening, and we will be back to talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.